The Share Pickers Podcast.
And joining me on the podcast right now and live on video. I keep saying live. We're not live. This is recorded within a couple of hours. But, you know, check out the video because John is looking very sharp. That's John Mayer, mining analyst, partner in SP Angel. He's got his blazer on today because the sun is out, the markets are rallying. And he thought he looked smart for that, which is a good thing, John. Very professional.
Well, it's pretty much the first time I've been able to get a jacket on for some weeks since they put some titanium in my shoulder.
Oh, yeah. Well, there we are. Were you dying to put a jacket on? Because you're a professional man. I've got to put a jacket on. You've got to have a jacket.
I think one should look a little bit smarter for these things. It's, we're talking about serious stuff here.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you make the effort. I find it hard, collars and stuff like that. I just like T-shirts and, yeah. Anyway, John, let me show you. The markets are running. I think you've, come out in good form there because I want to show you this market. This is the AIM All Share Index, right? This was like from the top to the bottom. This was back in September the 6th was the high, pretty much. Let me just get rid of my head there because I can see this. Let me just do something here because I've got something in the way of my screen, so I can't see. September the 6th there, at the high there, it was like 1310. And then 780 days later, we hit the low, 49% down. That's almost halved, of course, the index. But now, if we zoom in, some promising changes happening here. So the big bounce, technical bounce here, we get a strong rally like that from October to December. You think, maybe it's a technical bounce from an oversold position. If that's the case, it'll come back down pretty much. And what you need to do is retest this low down here and maybe have a higher low and then go back up. But it hasn't done that, which is very good. So it's come back down to, 734. So it went from 670 to 764, came down to 734. And now we're going back up there, and it's trying to break these previous highs, which was back in December. And that's very good. And look at this move we had early in the week. This was 1.19%. That was the biggest rise since December. And after that, you can see a follow-through of many days of rising. So I'm thinking now, we have some, this could follow through and break that previous high. And the bull market starts here, John, 800, 803 to be precise. That's 20% from the low. Technically, that's the start of a bull market. I've got to say today, when I looked at my account here, my stocks, all of them were up. There was four that weren't moving, but all of the rest of them were up. And I hold some 18 stocks. And so that to me was, I've never seen that for a long time. I think the sea of change, the wind of change is happening here, John. I think we're going to be starting a bull market in the next few months.
I think the wind of change is with you. I'm more of a fundamentalist than a chartist, but I would say that when you find a stock or a market with good fundamentals, it's always worth checking the charts just to see. It gives you an idea of whether things are oversold or overbought. And although charts reflect fundamentals in many respects.
Exactly.
So I think they're good to look at.
Yeah, well, people need to look at charts more because I mean, I'll show you, for example, right? I'll show you an example of this is my microcap leads. It's the UK's first microcap leads. It's all companies are revenue generating below 100 million market cap. So I look at everything, right? So this is CML Microsystems, for example, and it comes out, it gives you the broker target, it gives you the market cap, enterprise value, all that, average daily volume. So all the information there. Then we look at the growth, right? So full year results, growth half year, scroll down all, and it goes through growth, value, health, efficiency, momentum, potential. Get the results here, the fundamental results, and the forecast. Okay, so that's very essential. But what's really essential is, people understand this, is that financial results are historical. They're very important. They're the most important thing on this. I score every company, they're ranked. Now, the large majority of the scoring is based on fundamentals. You know, the valuations, the growth, all that stuff. But so that's historical. But what's real time is the chart. And that's built into that. And what people understand is there's no more, cleaner depiction of what's happening in the market than the chart, because that's money inflow and outflow. Simple as that. You know, when there's net demand for a stock, the share price rises. Think, why is that happening? Then you can go back and look at why that's happening. Maybe it is down to fundamentals or maybe looking ahead. But that's real time data on what's happening with them. I tell you what, very interesting, actually. And you can see here, Premier Miton, of course, they are an investment manager, largely in the smaller side. Look at this. It's come down from, 207, pretty much 2 years ago, and it broke 200 day moving average here. But they just announced today the back end of assets under management. They've seen some inflow in the last month or so. And look at this today. That is a very good measure, a barometer of the market. And so as yet, they did have net outflow over the last quarter, but they said the last few weeks has seen net inflow. So that's sort of pricing in what's going forward. So if you want to look at real-time money flow, look at charts. But then, of course, forecasts do that on the fundamentals, but forecasts are literally, you know, they are trying to guess what's happening in the future. But that's suggesting it's going to get better. And that's a very good barometer. So that's Premier Miton. And so it's worth looking at. I think they pay like a 10% dividend at the moment because it's so far down. But I think that's very, endemic of what's happening in the market. But I think, money inflow, money outflow, that's what charts are about. And that is the market. You know, that is the market. But fundamentals are, of course, hugely important. I agree with you, but the charts are very important,
Yeah, and I think it's good that you're using Premier Miton as an example, because those guys really do understand small cap markets. And actually, if you're going to invest in a fund, they would be a fund that I would invest in, because the key fund manager there, Gervais Williams, he really knows his stuff. He's been around a long time.
Yeah, but you don't have to invest in the fund. You can just take a position in the stock. So that's no fees apart from the dealing charge for the broker. But that's a lot of it is that, the funds charge fees. Well, Premier Miton, a lot of these funds are listed, Premier Miton, I think if you want to play, because I hold a fund anyway on the big cap side of the market, but if you want to play on the smaller cap side of the market, if you think the smaller cap's going to rally, and they tend to rally very strongly, that's a good play, Premier Miton. Yeah, Gervais Wynne is a very clever guy, worth listening to. I always like to listen to his interviews, and he has such a depth of knowledge that's on small caps, but generally across, macro and micro. Let's look at another chart that's quite impressive, John. Gold! Look at that. Wow.
Yeah, that is going beyond anyone's expectations right now. And it's being driven by central bank buying. Not every central bank in the world. In fact, the Russian central bank, I think, is a seller at the moment. But most of the others are buyers, particularly the Chinese central bank. We think they are concerned about pressure on their local currency, the yuan. And we think they're stocking up on gold just in case they have to work hard to defend their currency. In fact, if anything, maybe it will suit them to allow a staged depreciation in the Chinese currency in order to help their exports. Remember, China is producing huge numbers of electric vehicles and solar panels and all sorts of things for the electric economy. I think their strategy is really good in terms of what they're trying to manufacture and the value of the manufacturing that they are increasing in. And if they can't sell so much into the West, they'll find other markets to sell into. And if the prices are a little bit high, and in fact let's face it, Chinese prices are pretty low on their manufacturing. But if certain other countries, India, Indonesia, Brazil, I think their price is a bit higher, then it's very simple. Just lower the currency. Everything's suddenly at a discounted price.
Yeah, that's very interesting. You say they're buying. I mean, because there's figures out there in exports, imports to China. Look at that year on year to March, down 7.5%. It was forecast coming in at -3, came in at -7.5, and even their imports. Was expected to go 1.2% expansion there, or growth, and they went down -1.9%. So it seems like they're struggling, aren't they, Chinese? How do you know they're buying gold, the Chinese? And they're not going to tell you, are they? Chinese don't tell you anything.
I think the World Gold Council publishes various numbers. Who knows where they get them from? So we do get to see indications of their activity. But you're right, there's stuff that they do that we don't see. I mean, we also think they're buying copper for the State Reserve Bureau, the SRB. And we think one of the reasons for that is they've been struggling to buy enough copper concentrates to feed the expansion in their smelters. And look, all this expansion is with good reason, because they know they're going to use these materials in all the electric vehicles that they're busy producing, because electric vehicles use twice as much copper as conventional vehicles. So, and remember, the electrification of our grids, Western grids, Chinese grids, whatever, that requires more copper. And what they're doing in the USA now is they are recabling some of their grid networks. And so what you do is you take out the old cables, and you can double capacity by putting in new higher capacity cables. a lot of the overhead stuff is aluminium, which used to have a steel core. They now use, I think they use carbon fiber in the cores now, but that sort of thing to strengthen them and make them lighter, stronger, and have greater power capacity. And of course, for underground cables, you tend to use more copper, which of course is very copper intensive, and very heavy. But that's good for buried cables and for subsea cables as well.
Yeah, that's very interesting, actually. And what I'm just drawn back to the World Gold Council. I think I've said this before, that the members of that council, the World Gold Council, surely they're very bling. Surely they sit there on their gold thrones, all dripping in gold, sovereigns, all that, earrings. You know, like literally, we are the World Gold Council. They've got to promote their product, haven't they? And I'd love to see a picture of those guys, just the World Gold Council, all dripping in gold, their gold robes, everything.
I think maybe 100 years ago, I think you'll find the city has moved on a lot since then.
It's a pity. I think that'd be great. Literally everything, the cutlery, the drink, drinking from gold goblets, everything. There's nothing better than gold. You get yourself a go. There we are. They've got to promote their own product, haven't they? So yeah, that's copper. Look, price of copper, it has sort of broken out from that that recent sort of range, and in fact, it's now above the previous high, which was back in January 2023, which was 4.2. I don't know what metric that is, kilos, pounds. I don't know what that is. What do you work in, John?
So we're about $9,500 a ton. So I prefer to work in dollars.
That's pounds. Yeah. Okay, that's pounds.
That's cents per pound. So you have to multiply that by...
Oh, there we are.
2204.62.
956, is that right?
Yep, that sounds right.
956, okay. I didn't realize I could change that to pounds and kilograms. That's good, pounds, kilograms. I was in pounds, I'm now in kilograms, that's fine. I'll save that, yeah. So, it seems to be making a very positive move there. And in fact, there was someone suggested, I don't know who it was, I know you're into mining. You wouldn't bother with a mining fund, but BlackRock's the name. BlackRock's World Mining Fund or something like that. WRM. I don't know. World Mining Fund. Let me just say, World Mining.
They have the Golden General Fund, which has existed for many years.
Yeah, World Mining Trust. This is a very interesting chart because see, it rallied from the COVID dash for cash crashes at 215, and it rallied all the way up to 800 in the top of the bull market there, April 2022. It's come down, but look at this now. It's now just about crossing that 200-day moving average, rallied very strongly. But the biggest companies involved in that fund are, I think, Valet, I think there's Rio Tinto in there. What's the one for BHP as well? So the major holdings in that are basically gold and copper first, I think gold and copper. So you see why that's rallying. But it hasn't rallied as much as gold and copper. That's a bit of lag there. I think there's a bit of opportunity there. But that's I think they pay about a 5.5% dividend as well, the BlackRock World Mining Trust. They charge about 4%.
There is always a bit of a lag between the commodity prices running and the equity prices that are trying to supply those metals. And it just takes people a bit of time to get organized and get their heads around it and decide what to buy.
One of the risers today, actually, I did look at this, is I don't know if you're aware of these, or they are, but they are Galantis Gold. They're only a 15 million market cap, by the looks of it, but... it's having a good ride. It's breaking out that 200-day moving average. It hasn't touched that since January 2023, over a year ago, and now strong break of that. Very positive. That's GAL ticker. Do you know anything about those, John? I don't know nothing about this, to be honest.
I'm not the analyst on Galantis, although it is one of our companies. But I think there may have been some short sellers who've been squeezed out there. I wouldn't be surprised because there's been a lot of shorting across the whole sector. And I think there are a lot of stocks that are going to run like that as the short sellers suddenly have to buy their positions back in.
Yeah. Have they changed their name or something? Because Galantis owns a recently operated producing open pit gold mine near Omaha, County Tyrone, Northern Ireland. The mine also produces silver and lead. That reminds me of some other company, I think. I don't know who they are, but... about us, the sort of management, the sort of boards, who they are. So, you recognize any of these, John? Mario Stefano, Royston McGee, James Clancy. James Clancy, I'm always from vaguely away. Anyway, okay, John, individual stocks, what are you looking at? What's the news on?
Well, look, it's been a really interesting week for some of these companies. Yeah. Cornish Metals, if we want to start there. We don't normally pick up on internet rumors, but the stock was actually going down. It's been under pressure. And there are rumors all over the internet suggesting that the flooding in Cornwall was causing them problems at the mine, that there were dead sheep and dead cows being washed into the mine, and that the bones from these dead animals would be confused for human bones, and that the pumps would struggle with it, and the mine would be shut. It was so much rubbish. Oh, there was even somebody was suggesting that the flooding had caused the mine to fill up. It's complete rubbish. I mean, unfortunately, the company doesn't have a proper CEO at the moment because they decided they want to bring somebody else in. I don't know if they've decided who that person's going to be yet. So we published something yesterday saying, well, look, that frankly, this is complete horseshit. And we don't think there's a problem with the mining. We don't think there's a problem with the pumping at the mine. We don't think there's a problem with water levels. There certainly haven't been any sheep or cows washed in there. We don't think there's any. We don't think the pumps are going to have a problem. Yes, they slowed the pumping because actually they were pumping out the mine faster than they needed to. And in fact, when they get down to a certain level, because they're refurbishing the shaft right now, they'll be drilling again from one of the sub levels because it's much cheaper and quicker to drill from down there. They'll be proving up the resources, and then they'll be financing the new mine. And as they are building the new processing plant, they'll dewater the rest of the mine as they do that. So I'm not aware that there are any particular delays as a result of heavy rain in Cornwall. And I really think the internet has got itself in a bit of a twist, frankly.
Yeah, well, someone obviously got a very creative shorter there or something. I don't know if you can short this stock, but someone's got a vendetta, it seems like, and they're being very creative about the sheep and cows' bones being mistaken for humans. When you get a weak share price, that can play into it. People just get spooked, and private investors will start selling, begets selling, and you get in a downtrend. That's what happens. So someone obviously got sort of a bone to pick. Excuse the pun there.
Just to digress slightly, I was in Sierra Leone during the Civil War back in the 90s, and I was with the mine manager of Branch Energy at Koidu, which is the main diamond area, and they were dewatering the Koidu pit number one, and the pumps were making a horrible noise. And I said to him, "What's that noise?" He said, "That's the pumps grinding the bones of what was in the pit." And we knew there had been a massacre in the area I think it was the West Side Boys or whatever the rebel group was that went through there. So it wasn't the nicest of situations.
No, I think it's they've been Cornwallish sheep and cows. Right, okay, so that's Cornish Metal. You think everything's okay there? Bulletin boards. Sometimes you think people shouldn't be allowed to just, imagine if you're running a business and someone's online is just spreading false rumours about it. It's like, that shouldn't be allowed. That should be illegal. It's absolutely false rumours. It shouldn't be allowed. And the posters of that, should be taken off there because you don't understand. People are having money invested in this, and it's a business. So it's, I never understand that. In my mind, if I don't like a company, I don't invest in it. I won't comment on it. I never ever go on bulletin boards. I think I've visited them once or twice in my entire life. But I mean, I will never post negatively about stocks because I think in the end, the share price will win out. The share price will tell the truth. That's what happens. So there's no point people holding stock. And I think if you don't hold a stock, just concentrate on your own holdings or on future potential holdings. Don't go bashing other people's stocks. There's no point. It's completely destructive.
One of the posters was suggesting there would be 60 feet of sludge in the bottom of the mine. And I just thought, well, I worked in that mine back in the 80s, and one of my jobs was to dig out the sludge. No way would there be 60 feet of it. The mine doesn't let that much water in. It's not connected to any other mines in the region, as far as we're aware. And in fact, there's no evidence of it of any of the other mines, which are also flooded, being connected. In fact, the evidence is to the contrary. And there certainly isn't going to be 60 feet of worth of sludge. So, more rubbish.
Nonsense. Okay. What's next, John? Another company you mentioned.
We were looking at Cleantech Lithium.
Oh, yes. I used to interview now and again Aldo Baitano of Cleantech Lithium. He's an Italian in Chile. There's often a couple of problems with the interview and the connections and even the interview itself. But, so they came out this week, didn't they? And it was very odd. And you see the share prices. It hasn't been on a good roll. I mean, the IPO was back in March 22 at about 34, 35 pence a share. It's now down to 13. This is after the bounce today. But you can see it went down by, let me just move my big bald head out of the way there. It went down by 23% the other day because Aldo, what's Aldo been doing, John?
He's been a bit of a naughty boy. He's lent his entire holding of stock in, I think, a series of tranches to a financial institution, which has not been named for some bizarre reason. He's lent his stock to these people and forgotten to tell anyone about it. What's worse is he started lending stock to these people ahead of the big fundraising in November. So we don't know the details or the terms of his stock lending, but quite often what happens with these particular financial institutions is when the share price goes down, they then take a few shares off you, and it's quite possible that that institution may or may not have been shorting those shares and selling those shares in the market. Now, we don't know this. It's pure speculation on our part. And it may be pure speculation on someone else's part, but they haven't named who the institution is. They haven't said what Mr. Bonito's holding is today, whether any shares have been sold or not. He doesn't appear to be able to tell people what his holding is. He may not have control on it. We just don't know. But the fact is, he's done something that he should have declared. It's quite possibly a criminal act because it may or may not. Breach the MAR rules, the market abuse regulations. And we, this morning in our morning notes, we published a series of questions which we'd quite like the company to answer. But I've got this feeling they aren't going to say anything to us.
Yeah, what's he doing, Aldo? I mean, it's literally, there was a funny, in the week, I think it was this week or last week, it was a company, a non-exec director, accidentally bought 44 shares of a company. Now, it wasn't a, these shares were like £1,000 each, they were a nominal amount, and sold them again and confessed to it. So it was by mistake. It didn't mean to do it. It was a closed period. And she actually lost about £5.60 on the trade. So it's fine. That's an honest mistake. You know, you can see that for some reason. And I don't know why it would end up being 44 shares, but I can't think what it was. But here, he must have known that was, it absolutely knew what that wasn't correct, what he was doing there. Transferred his entire holding to a custodian account nominated by the lender. And as it is, I don't know how many shares I hold. I don't know how many I've sold. I don't know what's going on. It's like, that he knows full well that's against the law. So that is very questionable. Why would you do that? You know, it's nuts, isn't it? That's crazy. Absolutely crazy. But, I said, that maybe explain the share price weakness. Literally, it's, look at that. It'd be interesting to see when he started doing it, because literally, you can see here, it started, breaking down back in October 2023. That level, they kept bouncing off that sort of 35 pence level, and then all of a sudden just broke down 35 pence, and it hasn't sort of recovered, even after today's bounce. But, so how have you sent the, have you emailed the company for questions, have you, John?
Well, we published a series of questions in our morning note today, so we'd be interesting to see what they come back with. I did contact the executive chairman earlier in the week, and he declined to comment because there is an ongoing investigation, which I guess if there's going to be some form of legal action is fair comment.
Yeah. Do you want my shares? I'll give you my shares, and you give him money. And I don't know how many shares I got, but I give you some, and I don't know what happened with him. They're gone. Poof. I wanted to get them back, but you can't get them back. Don't know what's going on. You can't be that remiss. What other companies, John?
Atalaya. Very good.
Talking about liars. Okay, go on, Atalaya.
No, Atalaya, it's a very, very good quality copper mining company that runs the old Rio Tinto mine in Spain. They reaffirm that they're going to do 51 to 53,000 tons of copper this year. So if you're looking for an investment that's leveraged to copper, Atalaya are a good place to be.
Yeah, that's it pretty much, you know, replicates the copper share price there. Look at that, breaking up above previous highs here. It's nice to see. What else, Johnny White?
We were looking at Aura Energy.
Aura? Oh, what do they do?
They've got a uranium project.
Uranium, I thought so, yes.
Uranium in Mauritania. And, of course, uranium is a very interesting commodity at the moment because the world is going pro-nuclear again. I mean, it's not brand new news.
Yeah, but why is their share price going down now? I think uranium was rallying, wasn't it?
I couldn't tell you why the share price has gone down, but but certainly uranium prices, I think, are relatively robust. They may have come off the top a bit, but I think it's a sensible project. They're proving up extensions to the Tiris uranium project in Mauritania. They also have a polymetallic project in Sweden that has uranium in it as well. Now, Sweden currently has a ban on uranium extraction, but it's always possible that that will be overturned because we know the Ministry of Mines in Sweden is much more pro-mining than it was. Although Greta Thunberg and her friends have been causing various institutional funds to sell out of certain holdings. So, for example, one of the institutional funds was persuaded to sell out of ARC Minerals the other week, which was a bit of a shame. So it's, you know, we hope that Greta's not too influential within these institutions, but one or two are clearly following her mantra.
That's uranium price in the futures anyways, but that's per pound. It's gone from March 2020, it was like $24, I think, and now it's $89 there. Tin, by the way, is running as well, isn't it? I think tin is talking about tin.
Yeah.
Where did I see that?
Tin is over $32,000 a ton. There are problems with tin supply in the world. Tungsten prices are also going up because tin and tungsten are often mined together.
Yeah.
So we're seeing both of those rallying. There's quite a big mine in Myanmar that's been stopped recently. And the Indonesian government's also been messing around with export quotas in tin. So,
what do you mean messing around? What do you mean messing around with them? Stop messing around.
Well,
stop messing around.
They stopped anyone from exporting tin in January. And it took them a little while to unwind that. And we have the feeling there may be some more, shall we say, messing around by the government later this year. So who knows? But what it's done is it's tightened up the supply situation at a time when demand is actually taking off.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. And also, it's Strategic, I think you want to mention, because they're involved in a bit of tin, aren't they, as well?
Strategic Minerals, well, they have a tin and tungsten project in Cornwall at Redmore. Mm. But in reality, what's driving Strategic Minerals at the moment is their magnetite sales in New Mexico at the Cobra project. And they reckon they're going to sell $3.5 million worth of magnetite this year. So that's good because, I mean, that's pretty much all profit. It's very, very low cost extraction off old dumps. Mm. And that means they've got more cash to go and do more things with.
Yeah, cool stuff. All right. Marvellous. And about gold, you want to talk about Goldstone as well. What's happening with Goldstone? Is it
Goldstone, it's been suspended for a long time.
Oh, is it? Okay.
And the thing is, they had a disagreement at board level.
Since June last year. Wow.
Yeah, so we expect this to be re-quoted sometime soon. The difficult director has now stepped down from the board. They've just refunded it. I think it's $1.8 million worth of new funding from existing shareholders coming in. That's all announced. So when they get things going, it'll take them a little while to ramp up gold production, but it won't be too long because I visited the mine last May and they've done an awful lot of pre-preparation work for ramping up production, and then a lot of it didn't really get used. So, yeah, Goldstone should be a good recovery play when it is requoted.
Any idea when that is or not? No?
I don't quite know, but I would have thought quite soon.
Yeah, yeah, okay. As long as we've got rid of the difficult director. He's a very difficult director, that one. Cool. I love it, John. He'd be messing around with the quote. He's a difficult director there. Love yourself. Anything else, John? We covered a lot there. We pretty much, all done. It's gold. Look at the gold chart. Yeah, wow, that's doing well.
I bought some shares in Covango a couple of weeks ago, and actually, it's nice to see that one doing very well.
Okay, so why did you buy a share? Sorry. You're retired, John. Why is it the sun? I'm walking the dog earlier. Why did you buy some in Covango? What are they about?
I like the management. It's always good to follow good management. If you really like the management, then that's a good start. I like the projects in Botswana. I think they've got a reasonable chance. I mean, making a discovery that leads to a new mine is always a risky venture. But I think they have a better than average chance of actually finding something of value. And I know they've been working away at it for many, many years now. And I just think, I feel it in my bones. I think there's a chance of something going better here. At the same time, they've got a gold project that they're drilling in Zimbabwe. I've got to say, I don't know anything much about that, but they've just got export licenses so they can export the drill core and have that assayed. And the stock's going better, so maybe I'm lucky.
Yeah, maybe you are lucky, John. You're feeling your bones. A lot of mention of bones in this video. So Covango, yeah. So they're saying, is this the right one? NARA project ground magnetic survey completed. Yeah.
Well, the companies love to talk about geophysical surveys, and they are very important for deciding where to drill. Where to put the drill holes and which way to orientate the drill holes and how best to spend the money in the ground. At the end of the day, nothing adds value like hitting a target. So that's what we look at. When we look at the geophysical maps, yeah, it gives us an idea, but it's only an idea. I wouldn't normally invest in a stock on the back of the geophysical work, only really on what I'm beginning to see from the drill hole data.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? What's interesting, we've looked at quite a few now resource companies, and they are bouncing off the lows, it looks like. I mean, look at this. I haven't put this line on today. I've obviously looked at this previously. But previously, it seemed to bounce off this level here, which is around about 0.9 pence, and it broke down with that. It's been in that sort of range. Resistance, that was support there, now resistance, and now it's broke up above that and gapped up above a 200-day moving average. So there's some technical signs here in the resource area sectors that we're starting to see a bit of a rally, John. And so, like I said, it's in line with Amolshare as well, which is rallying, which is very good. I think we're literally, weeks and months away from a bull market. And so now's the time to do your research and take your positions, ladies and gentlemen, because the race is on to the bull market, I think. But there we are. John, thanks for that, fella, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you, Justin.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.